BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Monday's breakfast show in for Grimmy. We've got Real or No Real. Me and Chris get to judge best turned out horse at Haydock Races at the weekend. And how will Bear Grylls deal with a bear pouncing on him while live on Radio 1?
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Good morning, hope you're good. In for Grimmy again this week, this is Scott. When will I learn in this studio that pressing a button faster and more times doesn't make it actually work any better?
In what instance? Were you just going like...
And it's definitely not working.
What's not working?
It doesn't matter, I just can't speak to Adele in the next studio, so I'm just saying good morning to you, Adele, because I can't actually do it off air. We've got this little kind of button so we can talk in between the studios. Not working. Anyway, I'm good. How are you, more importantly?
I'm all right. I mean, it would have been nice if Watford won yesterday.
Yes.
But I still kind of celebrated the fact that we made the semi-final last night.
Good. So you did have a celebration.
Yeah, because you've got to see the positives in life, Scott.
I did send you a text saying good luck, and when I was checking the score, and when it finished, I was like, oh, mate... Was I a supportive friend yesterday?
You were. You texted at the right times.
I did, actually. I did keep an eye on it.
We lost 2-1. Fair play to Palace. And you just move on from these things, don't you? It's been a good season.
What do you need? A hug? A coffee?
Maybe
I've already bought you
a
toothbrush and some toothpaste.
Above. Well, I'm going to have a small comfort break in about 15 minutes to sort myself out, okay. And then I'm ready to go.
I liked the early morning text. Can you bring deodorant, toothpaste and toothbrush? I did, though. Look.
Cheers, friend.
Right there. There you are.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Oh, right. So, in my haste this morning to bring you in some deodorant and toothpaste, I've just realised I've not bought my pass to the building or my phone charger.
Are you but blaming me?
A bit, because my priorities were wrong. But anyway, enjoy brushing your teeth. I like it that I also brought you a toothbrush, because I text you and I was like, well, how are you going to brush your teeth? Finger. Oh, lush.
Yeah.
Better than nothing, mate.
Well, no, I was saying out of the two things, the toothpaste is more important than the toothbrush, isn't it?
It's just there's something really low about brushing your teeth with your finger on it. To start the week as well, on a Monday morning.
I know,
mate.
I wouldn't feel so bad if it was a Thursday or a Friday.
Yeah, finger on a Thursday is fine. Not on Monday to start the week and as you mean to go on.
I know.
I just remember we met Van McCann's off of Catfish in the Bottom End's cousin at the weekend. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, we did.
We did. We were DJing at Haydock Racecourse on Saturday. Really good. Van McCann's cousin was randomly there. He was like, you might know Van. He's my cousin. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
How many times must he have dropped that line as well?
I know, but fair play, I would.
If you've got Van McCann as a cousin, you would, wouldn't
you? Yeah. So we were DJing at Haydock Races, but before we started DJing, and we didn't know about this, they asked us to judge... the best turned out horse competition.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't expecting that, but we thought we'd record some of it on our phone because it was so unexpected. I was like, right, get your phone out and record this because we're going to need this for Monday.
How do you describe it?
So I didn't know what to look for.
Right, so there's a parade ring.
Yes.
Right.
And these horses are being paraded by their jockeys round this little ring, a bit like, you know, when you see the dog competitions,
yeah.
And they're like, look at my horse is best.
Yeah, they're not riding the horses. So what it is it's like a garden, almost a circular garden, and people are walking their horses.
Yeah, like almost like a fashion show, like
yeah.
A catwalk.
Yes.
And showing off their horses. So we had to ask the guy there, what are we looking for? Because we'd never judged anything like this before.
So anything with a horse, you know, it's coming out and it's looking relatively clean.
Yeah.
They've made an effort. The travelling style, they've done something with the hair, with the mane. It might have a sort of pattern on the underbelly, on the hide, something like that. So,
and if it looks like they've been working out.
Yeah, if they've been doing some bench pressing or something.
Got you, okay. If they've done something with their hair.
It's a very odd competition, this. You're basically looking for what you think, in your opinion,
yeah.
is the best turned out horse.
I just didn't know what the rules were, and you thought it was like a Saturday night TV show.
It's a little bit like Take Me Out. It's not like, but a horse version.
You're gonna get the light on.
I'm leaving my light on for two.
What a ridiculous thing to do. But it was harder than I thought to judge it, because they were so... I mean, they were turned out, weren't they?
There were some very well turned out
good-looking
horses.
Good looking horses. For some reason, we both took a liking to number 9.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Let's not discount any others.
No, no. It's just my eyes are drawn to horse number 9. Number 5.
Number 1's pattern, though, is. Oof.
Now, number 6 has been working out.
Yeah.
Look at those buns.
Oh.
And that thigh muscles.
Damn, that's a sexy horse.
You can't say
damn
that.
Damn, girl. I just, there's something about number 9.
Just a couple of them need to brush their hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still feeling number 9.
Although I quite like that one there. I can't see the number on it, but it's wearing a ski mask, yeah. Which must be some sort of fashion.
Yeah.
Keep my eyes off number 9. What are you thinking?
I think 9 as well, but
should
I don't know.
9?
Yeah, but I don't know why.
It's just, I don't know.
We have to give reasons why.
It's got like a horsey X factor thing.
Okay, I've got to do it. Yeah. Go do it.
I think we're going to go for number 9, number if nine. That's all right. Number 9, yeah.
Number 9. Why are they believing us and what we say? They came up to us at the end of that. We're like, right, we've got to do it now. Number 9, you say? Okay, then. And they won.
Also, did you hear the guy write as well in that the winning horse got a £50 voucher?
For what?
I'm not sure.
Like, to go and do something else with your hair? thank you very much, Haydot, for Saturday. Mm. I've never judged best turned out horse before. It's a first.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So we've got Bear Grylls in for you live from 8 o'clock this morning. The question I'd like to get you to ask today, Chris, to Bear Grylls, is what he thinks of Lemonade by Beyonce.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, you're doing that one. And then you've had this idea, which I'm not sure is advisable, but why not tell everyone what it is?
Well, I don't want to say exactly what it is, but it's a surprise. And it was an idea that we actually had in the pub, and I'm amazed that you've given us the green light.
Yeah,
but if it works, incredible.
Okay, so I mean,
it's based on something that we played a while ago, which is how you deal with a bear attack.
Now, there's this guy online. I don't know whether you've seen the video. It's proper gone viral. This, and it's a guy who's confronted by a huge bear, and this is what he does. To get it to go away.
No!
And it worked.
And with that in mind, we've got an idea that, that we'd like to try with bear.
Now, who's got the bear outfit? Really? Is this really going to happen?
So this kind of relies on everyone keeping it quiet.
Might as well just say it now.
Quiet from him. But we are going to see how Bear Grylls will deal with a bear attack.
The costume is quite something. You're going to be well hot in that. Mm. But please, can no one tell him that there might be a bear attack? Because I'm showing the interview.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Matt in Sheffield says, you do know that he's an expert in several martial arts and ex-SAS, Bear Grylls, yeah? You aware of that?
I'm aware of that. I'm just interested to see how he handles it. A live bear. But do you know, if this works out well, we can test this on other guests. Just see how they deal with a bear attack.
I mean, it'd be a shame to use the bear outfit just once.
Yeah, I mean, we've got it now.
Jad's been on saying you actually need to video bear's reaction. Oh, don't worry about that. The cameras will be on. I mean, if you can't watch it live, we'll obviously record it for you. But just after 8, when Bear Grylls comes in, if you can get to a screen, doesn't matter how big or small the screen is, as long as it can get the Radio 1 website, even your phone, then you'll be able to see his reaction.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Laura.
Morning, Scott.
You all right?
Yeah, not bad. Yourself?
Good. Where are you today?
I'm in Cornwall at work at the moment.
What do you do?
I'm a self-employed cleaner.
But I also understand you're part of the Young Farmer Massive.
I am, of course.
How does that work then with your cleaning job?
Well, to be honest, anyone can join Young Farmers, really. Yeah, I do a bit of volunteer work at Orion Stable, so I've got a bit of a agri background, sort of. So me and my friend joined like a couple of years ago, and yeah, I've loved it ever since.
This is the thing which people don't realise about Young Farmers. There's loads of people that are actual farmers, but there's loads of people that just go along because it's so much fun and they're such a great crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So do you mainly do it for the parties?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They are the best, right?
Oh, they're just amazing. The things you get up to and just the memories you make, it's just incredible.
Okay, let's play Monday's Real or No Real.
Dan and Phil had to deliver their Radio 1 demo by hand on a train from Manchester because their internet was too slow to deliver the file.
These are pretty much the kings of the internet, Dan and Phil.
Yeah. That seems a bit unlikely, really.
And so they wanted to be on Radio 1. Is this where they're going? So they basically sent in a tape of them doing a radio show.
Oh, yeah!
An MP3, right? They wanted to send that to Radio 1 to show what they can do.
Yes.
They had to do it at that exact minute because they'd already put their train tickets. So they decided that they're going to do it on the train at that exact moment. Annoyingly, the internet was too slow.
No, I think what's happened is they had to come down because the internet's too slow in their house. Now, I can't believe that because you'd think that Dan and Phil would have the fastest internet speed of all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. But no, unless like, I don't know, internet in the area just went kaboom or something like that and they really needed to get it there.
A lot of people seem to have problems uploading at the moment. Like, I saw Alfie Days the other day going, I don't know why, but I can't seem to upload my files.
You do a good Alfie Days impression.
Like, seriously, these people, this is their kind of job. Get some better internet.
Shall I tell you what that is? That's hashtag YouTuber excuses right there.
Do you think?
Yeah, you know, a bit like DJs complaining.
Yeah.
That Twitter one. Someone needs to set one up because I bet you often the internet isn't slow and it's their job. But actually, they haven't done a video and they're just making excuses to why it's not up yet.
Right, so they can't be bothered, but they're like, oh, my uploads are just not working, guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's YouTuber excuses.
But did Dan and Phil have to deliver their Radio 1 demo by hand on a train from Manchester because their internet was too slow to upload the file? Chris?
I just don't know why they wouldn't have done this before or after, or why it had to be done right there, right then. So I'm going to say this is no real.
Laura?
Yeah, I think this has got to be no real. It's ridiculous.
That one is real.
What?
Really?
Dan and Phil, off of the internet, did have to travel all the way down to Radio 1 in London from Manchester because their internet connection was too slow to upload their Radio 1 pilot show.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You can catch Dan and Phil's internet takeover tonight at 9 p.m. before they go on a hiatus. And next,
former One Direction star Zayn Malik is in the top 12% of people in the world who have been able to harness the power of bird whispering.
Bird whispering?
Yes, you must know about that, being close with the young farmers, no?
No. Never heard of it myself.
Part of the young farming activities?
No, talking to...
Maybe I should organise that as a club night. So we'll go bird whispering and see what happens.
Bird whispering is basically genuine tweeting, isn't it?
What, so he's like... Is that what it is?
But that's why Zayn Malik...
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he's quite softly spoken, actually, isn't he?
Hang on. Wasn't there a photo going around with him with a little bird on his hand somewhere?
Was there? Oh, you went proper Cornwall there, my lad!
Oh, I can't help it.
Oh, I know, love. Was there a picture of him with a small bird?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen, like, of him on his hands and there's a little tiny, like, little bird sat on his hand, so maybe this is real.
So maybe he does talk to the birds.
Of course, of course.
Hey, I'm going to level with you here. I used to think I could talk to owls, right?
Okay,
I know it's quite Harry Potter.
Hang on a second. So I've known you a long time. How come this has never come out of the woodwork before?
Because I'm a bit tired and I'm just going to be honest.
Okay, hon, go on.
So I used to be in my parents' garden, right, when I was younger, and I'd make the noise of what I think was an owl. It may have just been a pigeon. And generally they'd reply. But then I clocked that actually they weren't really replying. They were just leaving a sort of
a
dramatic pause in between their calls.
Could you just reenact the noise for me that maybe you used to make to the owls?
I can't really remember it because it was a certain type of noise. You always hear it in the garden. It's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then there'd be a pause and then you'd hear it again. So then you'd reply. Honestly, mate, I thought I was talking to these animals for a while.
What would you be saying to them?
No, I was just making noises. I didn't know what the noises meant. But that's the difference between me and Zayn Malik then, isn't it? Because Zayn's speaking a language to the birds.
So is this real or not? Is he in the top 12% of people that can bird whisper?
What do we think he's whispering to the birds? Lyrics?
I reckon this one's real.
Pillow talk to the birds.
Real or no real?
Pillow talk? Real.
Real.
That one is no real.
Oh. Aww.
No, unfortunately, Zane has not harnessed the devastating power of bird whispering. Although, as you said, Laura, he did tweet a picture of a small bird sitting atop his hand on his timeline.
Fair enough.
You're right. And finally,
1 in 10 men wear their underpants for 7 days straight before changing them.
Now, 7 days is a long time to wear the same underwear.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of life, it's not that long.
It is.
It is a pair of underwear.
Yeah, you're only saying this because you probably do.
No, I wouldn't do 7 days.
How many days?
I don't know.
It's four, is it? I bet you do the whole sort of like turn them like inside out and then turn them the other way around.
No one does that. People say that, right, as a bit of advice for making your pants last longer, but no one actually does that.
How many days do you wear them for before changing?
Why is this on?
It's not one day, is it? It is.
Generally, no, I'll be honest with you. Generally, it's one day.
But sometimes?
Oh, it really depends what you're doing. If you're away for the weekend. No.
Take some underwear with you.
Yeah, but you're one of those kind of people as well, aren't you, Laura?
What,
you're
the same packs as a bag?
You'll take on a night out, you'll take a little travel bag with you. Guys don't take spare pants on a night out.
No, but if it's a planned thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, you leave a bag wherever you're going to end up on a night, so you've got some fresh clothes to put on in the morning.
But what if you don't know?
Well, if you don't know, that's your own fault for being loose.
Yeah.
Loose? No, I'm just saying, like, it's a lovely idea that you change your pants every day, but it's not realistic.
It is realistic. Everyone does it apart from 1 in 10 men.
No, that's 7 days. 1 in 10 men, 7 days.
That's horrible. Just disgusting.
I don't think we should alienate any listeners who are listening right now. Now, statistically, if it's 1 in 10 men and 10 million people listen to this show, half of which, let's say, are men, 3 million, just doing the maths.
All right, Rachel Riley.
That would mean there's about 300,000 men listening right now who've worn their pants for a week or are planning on doing it. Let's not rule them out.
I want them to switch off.
Yeah,
I don't want them listening. I don't want them listening. Also, what are you saying about jeans? How many days?
Oh, jeans, I don't think there's an upper limit, is there?
See, when that song came out, back in the day,
I've had the same jeans on for 4 days now.
Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with that?
What are you switching them off every 4 days for, you weirdo? Even 4 weeks wouldn't have been that bad. But if it had the same jeans on...
No, not 4 weeks.
I've had the same jeans on for 4 years now. that would have worked better.
Real or no real, 1 in 10 men wear their underpants for 7 days straight before washing them.
I hope that's no real.
Yeah, go on, I'll go real.
That one is real.
Oh. Oh, that's foul.
Sorry, that is foul. The average man's underpants are 4 years old. More than half have holes in them. And a staggering 1 in 10 men wear their pants for a full 7 days before washing them.
So what was the first fact? The average pair of pants in a man's drawer is...
4 years old.
4 years old.
Which is also disgraceful. At the end of that round of real or no real?
Very low scoring. I got 10. Laura, unfortunately, you got nothing.
But if you had a lovely time, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I have, definitely.
Have a good day, Laura.
You too. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Just a reminder, you did sing that in the BBC Showers last week. Seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it, Chris?
Oh, I said, what do? I find myself in a sticky situation.
Nobody joined in.
Sticky situation. Sticky situation. I find myself in a sticky situation.
That was Kiko Bunn and Sticky Situation on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. So we've got Bear Grylls coming in after 8 this morning. Have you seen that programme, The Island, with Bear Grylls?
Yeah, it's full on at times.
So full on. It's a great show. There's so much drama on it. They have very little food. They're in the wild, rough seas, and no access to Instagram for weeks.
The bit that stresses me out is when they have to jump between rocks. And even though the gap looks small, you can tell that they're really panicking.
And then one of them falls backwards off a 30-foot cliff.
Mm.
And everyone was like, is he okay? He was, because I checked, he's on Twitter. But that's not the point. So Bear's going to come in at 8 o'clock this morning, and there's something that he's not expecting, which Chris has ready to go. Are you sure this is a good idea?
No,
but it was a good idea when we came up with it in the pub.
Okay, so we should probably explain what's going to happen. But Bear can't know about this, otherwise it'll ruin the surprise.
This does rely on a whole lot of trust with people here.
Yeah. So we seem to have acquired quite a realistic-looking bear outfit, like a brown bear. So this is so stupid.
I was saying in the pub, I'm interested to know how Bear Grylls would actually deal with a bear attack.
Yeah, so what Chris will do halfway through in the interview, Chris will leave, will play a song, and then...
I need an excuse to leave, though. At some point, I'm going to have to make a really kind of subtle
No, just walk
exit.
Out. Like, when we'll do one chat with him, then I'll play a song. That's your cue. Just, you could be walking out to make a cup of tea or anything.
Okay.
And then I'll start the next bit of the chat with him, and then...
What I'm going to do is...
You suit up.
Because you'll be able to watch this live, right? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to creep up behind him dressed as a bear.
And it's quite a realistic outfit.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a more comedy one than it is.
It's...
Bearing in mind, he is ex-SAS, so could kill you.
I know, there is a real risk of that, isn't there?
So what's the plan? You're going to just going to like walk into the studio. He'll be like opposite me like you are now.
Yeah, and then you're going to rise up. Rise behind him.
Whoa!
And then let's see how he reacts, because he might scream like a little girl. The Scott Mills
Daily. Okay, so we need to talk about Lemonade, Beyonce, which became available over the weekend. Got a foul mouth these days, right?
I mean, one of the songs, would it have been called Lemonade? I know Jordan North played twice in a row over the weekend.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it on Radio 1 over the weekend. We'll talk about all of that and get your opinions in the next 15 minutes on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Biffy Clyro coming up and Alessia Cara as well. We should point out with this bear thing, with Bear Grylls, the people that are with Bear Grylls right now do know about this. He doesn't, so they're making sure that he doesn't listen this morning. And we can't ruin the surprise. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with an ex-Special Forces unarmed combat instructor, says JP in South Wales?
Do you know what? Maybe nothing will happen. But it's just interesting to experiment.
Rise up behind him in a bear outfit.
Bear lols this morning.
Bear lols. It's one of those ideas that we do have in the pub that strangely managed to stumble its way onto the air. The Scott Mills Daily. If you're just getting ready for work or school or college, morning, it's Scott in for Grimmy. And Sinead's about to break down Lemonade for us.
Indeed, yes. Well, so Beyonce dropped a surprise album on Saturday night. We were expecting something. We didn't know exactly what it was going to be. So on telly in America over the weekend, an hour-long visual album was shown. And at the end, her new record, Lemonade, was made available, but only on her husband, Jay-Z's streaming service, Tidal. However, this morning, tons of reports that it will be on iTunes very soon.
If you look through social media at the moment, it's full of people in America staying up late waiting for it to go on iTunes, and it hasn't gone on there yet.
Yeah. There are a few places that you can stream like little bits of song to get kind of an idea of it. But the film, beautifully made, it used lots of spoken word, her kind of narrating through it, lots of fashion, lots of lyrics about relationships, infidelity, empowerment, love, and a series of very stylish music videos interspersed with home videos of her dad, her wedding to Jay-Z, and her daughter Blue Ivy's birthday.
I've seen a bit of it, and the bit I saw was her walking through, I think it's New Orleans, just casually smashing car windows with a baseball bat in a really nice dress.
Yes. And so that has brought out one of the biggest talking points about all of this. It's whether it seems to address these continual rumours that Jay-Z cheated on her, because she does make lots of references to infidelity, and then towards the end talks about forgiveness. But this has led to a lot of people on Twitter making the same joke about Jay-Z, that he's finally found his 100th problem.
Sorry, I'm confused. The smashing windows thing.
Yes.
So is that video from her wedding day?
No.
No.
No, it's all
It's not real.
No, it's not real. It's all part, like, so there are some home videos in there, but the rest of it is all like new videos being made up to accompany the songs. That's not from her.
There is some home video in there, Chris, but that's not one of them.
Yeah.
But this is not, that's just like
fine,
the acting.
Fine.
So, and as for the actual music then, the writing credits on the album are really impressive. Kendrick Lamar's on there. The Weeknd, James Blake, Ezra Koenig's lead singer of Vampire Weekend, Father John Misty, and Jack White. And the key is here how she's crossed crossing quite a few genres within the album. Much heavier guitar sound with Jack White on Don't Hurt Yourself. The James Blake song Forward sounds like she's featuring on his track. Hugely electronic and his very distinctive vocals all over it. And that's just over a minute long. And that's the one that a lot of people actually been getting really excited about on social media. And then the song co-written with Ezra from Vampire Weekend, Hold Up. And that just smacks of a Vampire Weekend song, the kind of Afrobeat that they always incorporate in their tracks. It's a really interesting album for her, actually, because it's not just a completely, you know, this is Beyonce, this is her working with lots of other, you know, really great artists. And well done, James Blake.
There's
British.
One. Yeah, go on.
Well, British contingency.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah. There's one on there that's a bit country as well.
Yes, there is. Yeah, the one, a daddy's song, I think it's called, isn't it? Yeah. So, no, it's a very interesting album.
All
so,
good.
Yeah. Now, also over the weekend, Doctor Who has a new companion. Her name's Pearl Mackie, and she'll play the character Bill and replaces Jenna Coleman. So you may have seen her in Doctors, if you ever catch that, and she's also in the West End as well at the moment.
Doctors is a guilty pleasure for me when I do Breakfast Show.
Yes, me too. So you might recognise her face, actually. She starts filming at the moment, but we won't see her in the show until next year. But the BBC released a trailer over the weekend to introduce her, and it sounds like she's going to be quite funny, a bit sassy, and not afraid either.
What's that thing?
A Dalek.
What?
A Dalek.
What's a Dalek?
It's an alien war machine. Deadliest alien war machine ever devised.
Fat, though.
Sorry.
We never get through that door. It's too wide.
You'd think by now that they'd say something else apart from that, wouldn't you?
Exterminate! She's playing the character Bill.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So she's the Doctor Who's new companion, and she just called a Dalek fat, so I think she's going to be great.
Yeah.
Now, finally, it seems Kanye has a party trick. After famously interrupting Taylor Swift's MTV speech a few years back, he was at it again at the weekend at a wedding in Miami. Now, someone filmed him on their phone, and it's been kind of like picked up everywhere. So this is Kanye grabbing the mic off the groom at the wedding, which is arguably one of the most important speeches, moments, yes, apart from the vows. So, I mean, it's on a phone, so listen carefully.
Clayton, I'm going to let you finish, but David Brown had one of the best weddings of all time.
So he says that, I'm going to let you finish.
Whose wedding is this?
So it's a friend of him and Kim's, I'm guessing, because there's quite a lot of famous... I don't know if you saw any of the pictures of Kim Kardashian over the weekend wearing revealing clothes. That was for this wedding. He interrupts. But it's one of those things that... you know, if like you do something after like a beer and you think it's really funny, and then every time you have a beer, you keep doing it and it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. So. He knows what he's doing with it. Mm-hmm. He thinks this is a big joke.
This is it now. Yeah. So don't invite him to your wedding. No, okay, listen. She'll be great. The Scott
Mills Daily. It is Monday morning with Scott Mills in for Grimmy this week. And good morning, Birdie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Happy Live Lounge Day.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I've just been seeing that the European tour looks like it's been going very well.
Yeah, it's been really nice. I just kind of jumped back home to come and see you guys, which it feels quite crazy to be back suddenly, but it's been amazing. Yeah, I've just done two nights in Amsterdam, which has been really, really good.
So do we find you at home in your actual house this morning?
Yes, I'm at home in my pyjamas. Practicing my piano.
There's nothing wrong with that, you see. Like I imagine that a lot of the stars, when we wake them up in the morning on their live lounge day, are probably wearing even less than pyjamas. So I think it's absolutely fine.
Do you do a special breakfast for live lounge day?
I don't think I have anything here. I think everything in my fridge is probably mouldy and disgusting.
This is the problem when you're on tour. Like, you haven't even got any milk in there, have you?
Well, no, it's really sad, actually.
Everything's gone off. Right, so we're going to play Wild Horses, which you will perform in the live lounge today. But what everyone wants to know is, what is your cover going to be, please?
I am going to be covering Jonas Blue featuring Dakota Fast Car.
The Jonas Blue classic.
Yes, I'm also a big fan of Tracy Chapman. She's one of my idols, so it was really nice to hear it again.
Let me ask you, are you more fan of the Jonas Blue version or the Tracy Chapman one?
He also did a remix of my song Keeping Your Head Up, and I felt like I was being kind of drawn to that one for some reason, and it's just nice hearing it being introduced to more and more people as well.
Oh, yes, well, totally. Hang on a second, then. This isn't just returning a favour, is it, to Jonas Blue?
No.
You do my song, I'll do yours.
It's underhand deals going on.
It is a great song.
It is a great song. I think what he did with it was amazing as well.
Oh, that's nice. I like a bit of inter pop star love for the Live Lounge. That's really good. Okay, well, listen, what's your plan now until 12? Because it's that waiting game now, isn't it? Of like, oh, I feel a bit nervous. What am I going to do with myself?
I guess I'm just going to practice nervously and get everything ready to leave again afterwards.
Oh, but, are you going straight off after that?
Well, not straight after that. I've got to be prepared. Yeah. I've got to go shopping, get everything ready.
Yeah. I love the idea that you've done a lot of shows recently, but you are actually going to practice your piano now in your house for today's Live Lounge, just in case you forget. All right, Birdie, listen, we'll get back to it, and we'll see you about 12 for the Live Lounge.
See you later.
See you in a bit. The Scott Mills Daily. Dan says that Birdie, when she said goodbye at the end, went a bit Iggy Azalea's Swedish horse from last week. I didn't notice. I like the idea that they just sat there at home, just in their pyjamas, practising the piano for the Live Lounge today.
It's proper real, isn't it?
I wonder if everyone does that. The Scott Mills Daily. Bear Grylls is in the building. He can't hear us at the moment. He's in a different studio. So, Chris, what's the plan?
Okay.
So he can't know about this.
No. So, do you remember a while ago we played you the sounds of a man scaring off a bear that had sort of appeared? He saw this bear approaching and he sort of shouted very loud at it to get away.
Yeah. It's a massive online video, like went really viral, and it did actually work. The bear just went.
Backed off.
By him doing this.
Hey! No!
And the bear just goes.
The bear went. Mm. And it led to a discussion as exactly what would you do if you were confronted by a bear?
Mm.
Would you make noises like that? Would you run off? Anyway, so me and you, Scott, were chatting in the pub about, well, what would Bear Grylls do if he was attacked by a bear?
So today, we are going to do a normal interview with Bear Grylls, but then the bit he doesn't know, I don't want him speaking like this because he can't hear us anyway. He's in a completely different part of the building. We've managed to acquire quite a good bear outfit. It's quite good. It's not as comedy as I thought it would be. I thought it would be a bit more panto than it is.
We should point out this was a pub idea, which has now made it to air. So I, at one point, I'm going to leave the interview.
Yes.
And I'm going to dress up as a bear.
Looks really hot.
And approach him from behind.
Mm. Now, this could really go wrong. We will be having this on the Radio 1 website live, and we'll record it for you if you can't watch live, and you'll find it on the internet later.
Obviously, we won't be explaining this whole bit again, so if you hear me leave at some point, it's because I'm going to
go and put on the bear costume.
Dress up as a bear, we'll probably play a song, and then what will happen is I'll come back dressed as a bear and just watch online. I'm sure you'll tell everyone to watch.
I'll say the cameras are on, okay? Yeah, and that's the code.
That's the code. And then...
But it's about to happen.
Well, let's have a look and see how Bear Grylls would actually handle a bear attack.
Yeah, as you come up behind him. The Scott Mills Daily. Bear Grylls. Hello.
Morning, Scott.
How
morning,
are
Chris.
You?
Yeah, good. Good.
Now, last time I saw you, we were talking about the show that you did with Obama, do you remember? Mm. Now, obviously, he's been in the country this week. Did you hear from him? Obviously, I would think it would go in this priority. Visit the Queen and Prince George, then fit in a visit to Bear Grylls.
You're very kind. But we were actually away filming this week. But we did go and see him in Washington a couple of weeks ago, which was amazing.
No way, you did the return leg.
Well, he said, I didn't know if he kind of meant it when we were on our Alaskan adventure, saying bring the family.
That's right, because last time we spoke to you, you'd said that he had said, come over when you want. So you've done that since.
So his lady, who's kind of, his right-hand lady, said he doesn't often say this, take him up on it. So we did. We took the family over in the Easter break. But it was, it was amazing because we were in the Oval Office, with him, chatting there, telling the kids, behave.
Behave.
Anyway, that Capitol Hill shooting, do you remember that a few weeks back?
Yes.
Yeah, that shooting. That was as we were in the Oval Office.
Oh.
So we walk in and, we're having a nice time, finish our chat, we walk out, and suddenly all the Marines on the way in have all been like high-fiving and relaxed and high-bear, and suddenly we're all in like ninja mode.
Wow.
President, was taking hard left, we were taking hard right.
Oh, well, it's like 24.
I thought this is brilliant. This is the best thing ever.
You were loving it.
We're like told to go into a room and stay there. And
Did you not feel scared? No, of course you didn't.
Well, I didn't know what was going on. I thought something's... Shah was a bit like, and then this guy came in and took us down these steps underground. Before we know it, we're going past the Situation Room. And I'm thinking, this is just...
Oh, my
this
word.
Is
this is your favourite thing. You're like, oh, this is an Easter holiday, isn't it?
I know, but it was classic. Amazing. Afterwards, I said to the boys, I said, did you enjoy... What was the best bit? Was it, you know, the president signing his thing for you or meeting or shaking his hand? They went, no, it was the underground tunnels and the Marines.
Exactly.
So that was a privilege. But yeah, he's done his visit and all good.
So when there was a situation there, you were there in the office, he gets whisked away. Did you see him again?
No.
that was it.
No, they thought that it was... Because then I think somebody at the same time tried to climb the fence of the White House. So everyone
was going on.
Total ninja.
Right.
Sticky situation. Mm. And then did someone sort of come out of nowhere and rugby tackle you to the ground and, you know, protect Bear? Or was it just the president?
I think I was low down the list of priorities, yeah. Actually, I met one of the Secret Service guys who did our adventure in Alaska, and he was... I said, what was your protocol if something goes wrong? And they were going... They said, we actually had a scenario. If you get shot, we leave you, we take the president, we've got the steel bunkers hidden behind here. So I'm thinking, hold on, rewind. I get left, somebody's only for... And they go, you're not the priority. I go, I suppose that's fair enough.
Okay, right. Well, at least you know where you stand.
I know, at least it's clear.
We were just saying before, the show, The Island with Bear Grylls, is... There's so much drama on that right now. So we saw the guy falling backwards off of a 30-foot cliff. Now, you must have thought to yourself when that happened, did you think he was going to survive?
These are the really painful bits for me to watch footage of. And it's the only show out of all the ones we do where I'm totally hands off. Do you know what I mean? We leave him on this island and retreat.
Where are you then? You in the hotel having a nice martini going, oh, idiots.
Well, I was actually filming Mission Survive for ITV at the time. So I go straight from there and then I get all the footage.
So you must hear about it.
So I heard it. But, you know, like Mission Survive, I'm with them. Do you know what I mean? We can handhold a beer. Mm. We'll guide them. The island is totally hands off. I get nervous on this show until the minute they're off it. This was probably the closest we've had and a real, you know, reminder that you've just got to cover your arcs and your bases everywhere you look. Mm. And we have great safety procedures in place and a great safety team that we have stationed on a nearby island. But, you know, even with all the precautions, stuff happens. Yeah. These guys are tired, sleep-deprived, hungry, thirsty, and stuff goes wrong, you know. So thank the Lord that he survived. But the truth is, he could have died just like that.
That's
if it hit
mad.
His head, he'd be dead, you know. So he was super lucky.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I know you've got something to talk about and announce today. You've got something quite big coming up, a tour, right?
Yeah, this is a project that I'm more excited than anything we've done before. It's a global live show arena tour called Endeavour. And I'm excited because I know this show is inspiring. It's going to move people. And also, it's never been done before in the way we're doing it. So it's ambitious. We're using these very cool Cirque du Soleil choreographers to help put all the aerial acrobatics of it together. We're using this 3D live mapping technology that's totally immersive for the audience. We've been testing that at Pinewood. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to make you cry. It's going to make you feel you can conquer the world. And it will stay with you for a long time. So I'm super excited about this. It's telling some of the greatest... We're celebrating, showing some of the greatest survival feats of all times, from, you know, the ones of just courage and persistence and ingenuity and crazy resources.
But what is it, reenacting them?
So it's reenacting and telling them, and it's immersive for the audience. So we go from some of the unknown Antarctic stories, we go to space, we go under the sea, we tell these amazing stories of one lady in the 70s who was flying over the Amazon jungle and her plane just broke up. And she found herself falling 25,000 foot in her, strapped into a seat, survived by the fall being broken by the jungle canopy, had this epic of months of survival, dragging herself through the jungle blind because she'd lost her glasses and just covered in welts and sores and pus. And, you know, so we recreate and tell all these stories, but it is... So it's quite shocking sometimes, but at the end of it, it is massively uplifting and inspiring. So... I'm super excited about this.
It's in October, right?
BearGrylls.com. Tickets going on sale Friday. And we start the world tour here in the UK. So we're only doing 10 shows. We're not doing a lot of them here. But yeah, come and be part of the adventure.
Whoa. And it is, like, how is it going to be immersive? In what way do you mean?
Do the audience have to drink their own wee?
Well, there will be a lot of surprises in it. There is quite a lot of audience participation as well.
Okay.
But it's mainly immersive because of this technology we use in the way, you know, not only doing all the aerial acrobatics with it, but also the way this whole technology looks. So, you know, like, we look at one of the footage stuff we're using just on an iPhone the other day. You know, and you look at really scary, like, footage of somebody balancing or something really high, even on a little iPhone, you sometimes go, wow, you know. So this is like 3D plus, because the whole thing is like moving and interacting.
That sounds wicked.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. We were just saying to each other before you came in, if we locked you in this studio right now and didn't come back, what would you do?
Well, I've got a nice cup of tea.
Yeah. So you're right. Well, you're right for a while, aren't you?
Yeah, you'll be all right. I mean, look, I can see daylight out there, so that's a good, promising start. It gets harder when you're underground.
Okay.
That's why they think they put things like the Situation Room underground.
Yes.
But we can see daylight here, which is good, and we've got only windows between us. So, yeah.
There's no drinks allowed in here, though, so you're going to struggle to find a water source.
Well, I think first thing is stop. Don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, most people, when something goes wrong and they go into kind of freak out mode, and go, you know,
yeah, that's not
don't
you.
Know what to do.
You wouldn't freak.
There's a time to do that, but it's got to be controlled.
Okay.
You know, so first thing is kind of stop, assess it, and if it's an immediate threat, you've got to take fast action.
Mm.
And if it's not an immediate threat, you can take your time and think through a plan.
Okay. So now how long do you think you'll be all right for in here? Obviously, your phone's going to die at some point. It's going to get dark. There's no water.
Well, I always think it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. So I'd like to think I'll be out of here within the day.
Right.
And if we're out within half an hour, well, we're all good.
Okay.
Scott, sorry to interrupt, lads. I'm in a bit of a sticky situation here. Do you mind if I just pop out to the toilet?
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Yes. Bear, I could talk to you all day, as you know. You've got so many great
You're
stories.
You're right, Chris.
Are
you,
yeah, I'll be fine.
Anything I can help with?
No, all good.
All right,
back
cool.
In a minute.
Yeah, no worries. All right, Bear, you okay? Stick around?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Okay, we'll play Alan Walker on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. And in a moment, the cameras will be on, so you can watch Bear Grylls if you're not already. 8:22 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, and this is Alan Walker Faded.
You were the shadow to my light. Did you feel us?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Bear Grylls is with us. Bear, at the moment, we're encouraging all of our listeners to try and get involved with volunteering for our Million Hours project. So we're not asking for money, as a lot of places do for charity. We're asking you to give your time to charity, and we're trying to get over a year, a million hours worth of time. I know that you've done a lot of about volunteering before. So it's an important thing to do, right?
It's a great thing to do. I think volunteering changes people's lives, but not only the people they help, but the people who actually do it. And yeah, it's right at the heart of scouting. So,
yes.
Yeah, good for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's happening. You can go to Radio 1 website, 1 million hours for more on that, and just pledge some time. You'll make a lot of difference. Someone just asked this, are you planning to do any more of the Running Wild with Celebs programs?
We're doing them at the moment. Yeah,
are
I got
you?
Back yesterday from season 3, episode 1, done.
Okay, so that's the ones you're doing at the moment.
So we're back onto that road at the moment. I got back from Africa yesterday. So,
yesterday? Yeah. Oh wow! Yeah. Have you got any good people? How do you top Obama?
I don't think you do, but we've got some great people.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, so real privilege. That's pretty fun.
Have you ever eaten something? This is from someone else that just texted. This is from David. Have you ever eaten something that you were sure was going to be quite horrible, but actually turned out to be quite nice?
Scorpions raw are terrible. Scorpions cooked, amazing. Took me about 10 years.
Back away! Back away!
Oh.
Scott, get under the table!
Okay. Alright, I'm going under the table.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
It's only Chris.
Oh, dear, you get my heart rate going.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so that's right. Sorry about that, Bear. It's just Chris in a bear costume.
Oh,
that was lightning fast reaction
under
there.
Attack.
Whoa. I was told to get under the table.
Do you want a bear hug?
Well, I had to pull this off to make sure it was
yeah,
real.
I mean, it's actually quite a realistic bear outfit. Chris, take a seat. Is it hot in there?
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, bear, so come back, come back, come down, come down.
Really hard.
No, it's okay.
I thought you'd punched me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I told you there probably wasn't a great idea.
You guys are nutty.
I know, sorry about that.
Is this your new way?
We actually had this idea in the pub and we thought, the thing is, the outfit is better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm
sweating.
Have a seat, Bear, it's all fine. Oh, I feel quite exhausted now.
I couldn't really see through the bear head, but what actually happened there? Because it felt like I was punched.
I heard it and I just went, boom, like that.
Oh, right.
And that went into you.
Yeah. You're okay though, Chris.
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But I did. Yeah, I did. So back away is a good thing to shout. And
yeah. What do you? I mean, obviously this is a comedy panto bear. What do you?
Much for a pub.
Right.
Pub brawl, I know. Is a bear attack.
What should you do in a bear situation? Because obviously not this one, because this is rubbish. But like in a proper one, you must have been in there before, right?
Bear attacks. Yeah. Well.
How do you handle one?
I think the kind of rule of thumb, if they intrude on your territory. You want to go like that, go a bit kind of, you know, make yourself big, loud, aggressive.
Okay.
And show that you're not worth the fight, so they back away. If you intrude in their territory by mistake, you suddenly spot you've walked into it, you know, where a bear is, you want to be meek, keep eye contact, slowly back away.
Be meek.
Get out of there.
There's a guy online, this video's gone massive, and he's...
But if you're being attacked...
Right.
So, you know,
that's different.
It is different. And it's different with black bears or brown bears. Because if you've got a black bear and it's coming into your territory, you got to really go crazy. You really go, back away!
Yes.
You know, really scare it and it will shock it.
This video online is a guy, he's being approached by a bear. Listen to this. And this is, he does exactly what you just said.
Hey!
Yeah.
Did it work?
No!
Yes.
Yeah.
And the bear went.
But, also you're in the wild and stuff happens. It doesn't always work out, you know. I mean, some people look at grizzly.
I'm so sorry about this.
grizzly bears, though. You know, these guys are strong.
Yeah.
The grizzlies can run at 40 miles an hour. Do you want to try as Usain Bolt speed? You know, then climb trees. You're not safe up trees. Some people say play dead, which if you're in a grizzly attack and it's grizzly with a young, could work. But on the whole, bears don't like being surprised when they're feeding, when they're with their young, or fornicating.
Right. I mean, no one wants to be interrupted during that.
There you go.
So Chris, you can take the bear outfit off now. Lots of people are watching this on the cameras on the Radio 1 website.
I feel really bad that I... I'm sorry, did I...
No, it's all fine.
It's fine.
I imagine a bear attack in central London wasn't really on your plan for today.
Did I shout Scott get under the table?
Yes, you did, yes. And I'll be clipping that up and playing it a lot later. Bear, thank you so much for coming in today.
I'm not coming again.
I'll come again. we'll see you on the tour, which is in October. Thank you very much. And also...
Yeah, come along. I'll get you some tickets.
Yes.
Yeah, guys, Beggar's Life, thank you.
And season 3 of The Island is on Channel 4 Monday 9 p.m. every Monday. Thank you very much for coming in, Chris. You can take that off now. It's probably the last time we'll ever see Bear Grylls here at Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, I'm putting it out there, that's the stupidest thing we've ever done. Ever.
I gotta say, being floored by Bear Grylls at this time on a Monday morning, it really sort of wakes you up.
I've just put on my Twitter, I mean, some of the screen grabs are quite incredible. The moment where he takes you out and you're just on the floor.
I couldn't see what was going on because you can only see through the mouth of this bear outfit, right? So all of a sudden I just went backwards. I was like, I wasn't expecting that.
Lindsay Frank said, this has made my morning. Charlotte, this has made my Monday. I'm actually crying in the car. Liam says, that was awesome. Can we hear it again? We'll play it again in a minute. We'll get a video for you later as well.
Yeah, the actual bear attack itself was... It happened so quickly for me. I mean, what did you see from your side of things, Scott?
I mean, it all went by rather quickly, but I do...
But that is a bear attack, I suppose. <isn't it? laughs>
But I've got the screen graphs. Quite something. I've never laughed myself out of bed before, says Josh Smith. Jenny, I'm crying. Haven't laughed that hard in a long while. Bear Grylls being attacked by a bear. He wasn't expecting that, says Tom. He really wasn't.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can we just rewind, because it's all a bit of a blur to me. Can we play again the reaction of when you snuck up on Bear Grylls in the bear outfit?
Yeah, because in my memory of it, I thought he'd punched me. And actually what we think it might have been is that he pushed his chair back right into me.
Right. It all went by so fast. But this is what happened when he realised that there was something behind him.
10 years. Back away! Back away! Oh. Scott, get under the table!
Okay. Okay. You just do whatever Bear Grylls says, don't you, really?
Did you get under the table?
Yeah.
Scott, get under the table!
Okay. Actually ridiculous. Hey, do you remember on Dev's show on Saturday, we were part of something called the Best Friend Test. Mm. And I'm not sure that Chris has forgiven me yet. I will explain more in a minute, and I want to replay it again if you didn't hear it on Saturday's Dev show in the morning, because I think I may have overstepped the friend line.
The Scott Mills Daily.
As if a bear would just walk into the studio at Radio 1, says, Laura, I know, that's why it was so stupid and why I kind of loved it.
You can see why he's King Scout, though, can't you? Yeah. Always prepared.
Just straight into action there, boom. Chair goes back, he's in the zone. So Dev, on Weekend Breakfast, does this thing called the Best Friend Test. Have you heard it? And he wanted me to try it out on Chris at the weekend. So I rang Chris up. Obviously, he didn't know I was going to ring. And you just thought it was my mobile number, didn't you?
I don't know how you did it, but it came through as your name and the picture I've got of you on my phone when you call. Mm. So it came through like any other call that you would give me.
So you're not suspecting that this is going to be recorded for the radio at all. It's from my phone number. See, I've employed new tactics to make it even more believable.
But that means there's no rules now, because I will never believe a text or a call from now on. It was a game changer, the call, because I genuinely had no suspicion whatsoever.
Remember, all of this stuff that you're about to hear is made up. So I didn't have a DJ gig. My mum didn't have a wedding to go to. The Best Friend Test was, I was trying to see if Chris would miss yesterday's FA Cup semi-final with his beloved team Watford to cover a DJ gig that I kind of double booked myself for. And, well, you can find out now whether he said yes or no. Would you miss the football? FA Cup semi-final.
You're a convincing liar.
Thank you. I did drop quite a few things in to make it more realistic, and he really fell for it.
Hello.
Hello, you right?
Yeah, you okay?
Listen, something's come in, which hopefully you can do. I've really messed up.
What's happened?
Basically, I've got this gig in Abergavenny.
Yeah.
And it's like a massive thing. It's like 4,000 people, and it's on Sunday.
Okay.
And I've completely messed it up. My mum's been asking me for ages if I would go to this wedding with her.
Yeah.
And I can't let her down on that, really. So, but also, I've got this gig to do, so I don't know what to do.
What do you want me to do? Go to the wedding?
No, yeah, obviously. I haven't even called Louisa about this yet, so... Ah,
I see. What do you want? What can I do? Do the gig?
Yeah, but it's quite an early set, I think. You have to be picked up at 5.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course. If it helps you out, then offer it up.
Okay. What's up? Are you busy on Sunday?
No, I'm not. I can do it. Actually, yes. Sunday I am. It's Watford. I'm at the Watford semi-final on Sunday.
Oh, no. Are there not any other games you can go to?
Well, it's the FA Cup semi-final. So, for me, it's like probably the biggest game I will have ever been to.
Oh, no.
So, annoyingly, I probably can't miss it.
Right, yeah, got you. All right.
But I'm not sure what time that is. So, you know, it might be done by 5-ish. So, in which case, depending on what time this thing is, it might all be good.
Right. I think it's a 4 p.m. pickup. That's annoying.
There'll be someone who will be able to do it. Whether it's Matt or Dev or one of those, we'll be able to find someone to do it.
Okay, so just to check, you definitely can't miss the football for it, no?
I can't miss football for it, no.
All right. Cool.
If it was any other game,
I know, of course.
I would.
All right, then.
Chris, before you go, this is Dev talking, and you came so close, but I think you failed the best friend test, mate. You were so close. Allow me to explain. All of this has been fake and made up to see if you would miss the football for your best friend, Scott Mills. And I thought you were about to pass.
Do you know what?
I totally believe this.
I know you did.
Do you know what's mad is... I genuinely, genuinely believe that. And as soon as you said it was your mum...
I know.
I was like, well, of course, I want to help.
But so you came across as a great friend.
For about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, it was like, no, not giving up the football.
Yeah, I tried to push it on the football thing.
Well, can I confirm at the end of this conversation, Scott, Chris, despite this bump in your road together...
Mm, which you created.
Which I created. Are you still very much best friends?
Yes, 100%. And I think it came across what a good friend he is there as well.
He will do anything. He'll, like I said before, Chris, and I, before we started the chat, I said to Dev, you're very loyal and you'll do anything for someone.
That's right.
Yeah, I would do anything for you, Scott, but I won't do that.
I know, absolutely. I'm really sorry.
I stand by that as
Dev,
well.
Dev made me do it.
BBC Radio 1.
Daily.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, it's time to get our bangers out. And let's speak to Glenn. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm good. Where are you?
I'm in Southend at the minute.
Okay, Southend in Essex. What's the name of that theme park there they've got on the front?
Oh, Adventure Island.
Adventure Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy times.
Is that still on?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think it's still
there. I haven't been down there for a while.
What do you do, Glenn?
Straight works inspector.
Okay. Oh, we had a guy on last week, didn't we? That was a traffic light engineer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So what does that mean then? You're just out and about inspecting the streets?
Yeah, just inspecting the utilities, making sure everything's compliant and it.
Okay. I'm listening to your voice, Glenn, and I'm just thinking about my banger that I've got today and thinking, is Glenn going to pick this one or is he going to go for Chris's?
It's so funny you say that because I'm thinking about my banger and thinking, I'm not sure it's one for Glenn.
I don't know whether it mine is at all. What kind of music do you like, Glenn?
Just a bit of everything, really.
Okay.
Yeah. R&B and hip-hop.
Do you actually mean that, though? Because people always say they like a bit of everything, and often they don't.
No, I don't think so. I do. I don't mind a bit of changing music.
Okay, right, so R&B and hip-hop, though, you'd say those are your favourites?
Yeah, I like a bit of dance as well.
Oh, rubbish. Okay, all right, so, Glenn, today, for you, I've got... Actually, can you go first, Chris?
No, well, here's the thing. What have you got? Is it something from Glee?
Similar.
Right, okay. Shall I go first? Need to serve.
I'd like you to do that.
All right, Glenn, this is for you, mate.
Oh, wow. I might as well get my coat.
Now, this is a tune. Obviously, everyone knows it. Sean Paul, Temperature, Monday Morning.
No, I've picked this before and it won.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you're lying.
Right at the start of Bangers, I did.
You're trying to take credit for my bangers.
Look it up, hon.
Well, I almost want to take back this song then.
That's alright, you can have it. There's going to be repeats. Anyway, so you've got Sean Paul on one side, and then on the other side, Glenn, don't be scared of it. I'm excited to potentially play this. Yes!
Oh, no.
Oi, Glenn. Hear me out. It's Britney at her best. What a song. Imagine there you are on the roads of Southend. You've got the windows wound down. Ho! And you're singing along to this. All right, Glenn. Hear me out, Glenn.
But here's the thing, right? We've had Sean Paul Temperature before. It's a good song. But you know what? I've heard it quite a bit. Yeah. In a weird kind of way, at least this is a bit different.
Yeah.
But...
it's a pop classic.
But do we really think, Glenn... will change everything about himself from what we've gathered so far to pick Britney Spears' Womanizer.
Yeah, no, sorry, I might even wind up. Sorry, Scott, but it's got to be Chris.
Sweet as a nut, mate.
The girl them skill art chick. Chanda Paul, some give it to, some give it to, some give it to our girls. One down in Jamaica, we give it to your head like a sauna. Well, woman, the way the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. Oh, oh.
Hello, Ben, driving around in his van with this loud, and Dom, the white van man, driving around Camden Town in London with this on full blast.
Proper Sean Paul, isn't it? Malia days.
Totally. I hope they've still got the radio turned up. Sorry, guys.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We're filming something secret today, which requires us to be smart.
The outfits today. A bear outfit for the bear attack with Bear Grylls.
We'll be able to tell you later in the week what it's for, but I'm not going to say now. Needless to say, I've basically had to dress Chris for what we're going to do after the show. I bought you a shirt like you asked.
Yeah, I need a shirt because I've accidentally bought in my school shirt.
Excellent.
Which I don't know why I still have.
A little blazer there and a couple of white shirts, one for you, one for me.
Mate, I've got a tie. I've got a Watford tie, actually. It's quite jazzy.
I don't want it to look like a sport commentator thing.
Well, it's not going to look like a sport commentator thing because I'm wearing a Watford tie.
What colour is the Watford tie? Yellow
and red.
Red. Okay, cool. All right, then.
Am I not fashionable enough to take part in this
feature?
No, it's fine.
I just don't think it's a sports tie is necessary for what we're going to film later.
Are we doing this annoying thing about we're not allowed to say who it involves?
No, we're not allowed.
It's
really good, though, isn't
wicked.
It? It's good. I'm going to play a little game with them. I don't want to say anymore because I'm just going to say who it is. But,
good. Something
really good we're doing after the show today. So let me just do a roll call. So today, right, what kind of state did you leave your house? Today I've brought in for you a toothbrush, some toothpaste, some deodorant and a shirt.
Mm.
Basically your mum.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now last week on this show, Gabby and Johnny from Exeter University played a round of library tennis. You lot seemed to love this last week. Basically, we take two students who are in need of a bit of a revision break and they go head to head in the library and you see which one can outgrunt the other. Like a tennis player.
Yeah, because that's the noise you make when you hit a ball really, really hard.
At speed.
Yeah, you're going to grunt.
Yeah, like Sharapova does. Well, yeah, just like that.
Same.
So the game ends when one player grunts louder than the other, or they concede and just like, okay, right, I've got to stop because there's people looking at me, or the librarian's told us to shut it. So here we are. Here's a clip from last week as we join Gabby and Johnny in the library as the game really starts to ramp up.
Johnny has asked the question there. Have you got the answer, Gabby, or is it game over from you?
I wasn't expecting it to come back.
No.
Surely this has got to be it now, unless Johnny, you can tell me otherwise.
Do you want it, Johnny? Do you want a cool game on this one? We can.
I think I've got one more in
you. Okay.
You think you got one more in you?
You cannot be serious.
He could win this. He could win this game. Okay, I've had enough now. I can't cope. Oh, stress. So it's all about just outgrunting each other in the library. If you are spending your whole life this week in the university library doing your dissertation or just getting ready for exams.
Oh, there'll be people camped there right now.
Yeah. Maybe you're there at the moment and you have a mate and you fancy a bit of a revision break. You've got to have balls of steel to do library tennis, but if you want to be... I need a couple, really. I need a pair that will play together. Get in touch. You can email me. That's probably the best way. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. I'm looking for people who do have a bit of nerve about them because it is all about grunting louder than the last one.
But it's also good fun and a decent revision break.
Yeah, so if you're near the library now or you're going to be in the library a lot, revising hard over the next week, let us know. Leave a number on it as well. Leave your phone number so we can call you. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk if you are up for a bit of library tennis on this show.
The Scott Mills Daily.
1 million hours through BBC Radio 1.
Right, so if you listen to Radio 1 a lot, you'll know all about this. We started a campaign in December, which is pretty ambitious, pretty big, but we know how generous you lot are, so we know that we can do this. We launched a year-long campaign to get loads of you to give your time to good causes. So we're not asking for money, we're asking for some of your time, to pledge some time. We want to get you to pledge 1 million hours, obviously not by yourself, this is involving all of us, giving some of our time to a charity or organisation or a movement that you feel passion for. And you'll meet new friends, you'll feel really good about it. A lot of people that we've been hearing from actually have really, really good fun volunteering. It kind of opens up new friend networks.
Yeah.
And you are doing a lot of good for the people, these charities that really need it.
You're doing good for other people, but there's nothing wrong in saying that you're going to do something for yourself and get involved for reasons, like you just said, Scott, meeting new people, making new friends.
So far, you lot have pledged hundreds of thousands of hours, but we do need more. We need a lot more. We're trying to get to 1 million, which is a lot.
Mm.
Amy and Charles have both volunteered as festival stewards with Oxfam, and they went to the London Marathon yesterday to cheer on all the runners passing through the 23rd mile. Now, if you've ever been to the London Marathon or anything like it, the vibe of the day is so good. They went with friends, and you can have a social time as well as volunteering for a cause that they're both passionate about.
Oh, go! Oh, go! Oh, go!
To help
have cheerers here like us to be able to encourage them, help them get through it is really important on a day like today.
It just makes you feel amazing, and you think that I'm here and I'm doing this and I'm keeping this person going.
1 million hours with BBC Radio 1.
One.
Hi, I'm Amy.
My name's Charles, and we're cheering at the London Marathon with Oxfam.
We put on cheer points at certain milestones, so we're currently at mile 23, which is right near the end. There's a live band playing, and we've got Oxfam banners and rattles.
Everyone's dancing and clapping and having a great time. I wanted to volunteer at the marathon because, firstly, a friend actually convinced me to come down today because she was coming. But also, I've had friends and I've had family that have run it over the many years, and I know the struggle that a lot of these people go through to get to today and also get to the finish line.
The best thing about volunteering for cheering is the change on people's faces when they see you. As someone comes up, the whisper goes round, there's like, Oxfam runner, there's Oxfam runner, get ready, everyone. As soon as they come into view, everyone's like, hooray, go runner. The change in their face is wonderful, and they just light up and they wave their arms in the air and they give us massive thumbs up.
I would just say to everybody, well, you've just got to do it. I mean, the vibe, is, especially at the marathon, is so electric that I think you would be silly not to do it.
Try it once. If you don't like it, fair enough, but try it and you'll see that I'm right.
It's quite emotional because you think there will be a reason why you're running for that charity, and they're going to get there, and when they do, they're going to feel amazing. We're all feeling amazing because we're helping to get those people across the finish line, which is what it's all about today.
1 million hours with BBC Radio 1.
One.
So on our website, you can have a look at the opportunities that are on offer and all the information on how to pledge and sign up on there as well. And make sure that when you do pledge, you let us know about it. It's all about spreading the word there, so don't just sign up and don't tweet about it. Use the hashtag 1 million hours. That's one is in the number one. All over social media, that's the hashtag you need. Hashtag 1 million hours. We're trying to get a million hours of time raised by the Radio 1 listeners. So go and have a go at volunteering. Have a look on the website. There's loads of opportunities.
1 million hours.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are the best bits of Monday's show. We're back tomorrow morning from 6:30, including after 9:30, Innuendo Bingo. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.